listener production.
Kickpod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yulukit Wulan clan of the Boomerang, who are a part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to Do I Want Kids, a mini-series from Kickpod. Before we start, I want to acknowledge the fact that being able to make the choice to have children or not is a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to have children. I cannot even fathom how difficult it would be to want to have children and not be able to. Infertility is a heartbreaking reality for so many. Just as it is a privilege to live in a country where we have agency over our bodies and are able to make a decision if we do fall pregnant, if we want to go ahead with the pregnancy or not. For women in their 20s and 30s who are feeling alone and overwhelmed in making this decision, who feel they don't have a safe place to explore all of the elements without the expectations of society, people around us, our parents and our partners, this is for you. We are going to do this together. Not knowing if you want to have children can feel incredibly isolating, especially when you have so many people around you who feel born to be a parent. The people who feel that being a parent is their purpose, their calling, what they're meant to be doing. And as someone who doesn't know living in a pronatal society, it is so hard not to feel the shame around feeling this way. One of my biggest fears is if I do decide I want to have children, the want not being strong enough to combat how hard of a task parenting can be, or at least as it looks. Things like not sleeping, the pressure on your relationship or marriage, not having sex, losing your weekends, your life being over as you know it, and the list goes on. Not knowing if this is a reality or catastrophization or somewhere in between. Fearing that without the calling to be a mother, the reality of motherhood will be too hard, that we will regret the decision and that we won't enjoy motherhood at all. The belief that if you aren't 100% sure that you definitely shouldn't do it because it is so hard and you won't cope, and asking if this is actually the truth. So in preparation for this episode, I went on a search for women who didn't feel their calling was to be a parent, and had many of the same fears I know so many of us feel, but had kids and are now really, really happy. First up, Rebecca, who was on the fence about having kids and took the leap when she hit 30 and says it's the best thing she's ever done. Rebecca, welcome to the Kickpod. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to start by asking you about your journey with your decision and desire around becoming a parent or not becoming a parent.
So I always thought that I would have children young. My mum was a young parent, so that was just my idea of what would happen. But as I got a little bit older, it really turned around for me, and I sort of started questioning myself, do I want to have kids? Do I not want to have kids? I was never that woman that was dying to be a mother. I grew up with a lot of younger cousins. I was much older than them, so I spent a lot of time looking after them. And I felt that they really fulfilled that kind of nurturing side of me. And because I loved them so much, I always thought, well, maybe the best thing for me would be to adopt. But obviously that's an incredibly hard process. And as you get older, you realize that, and that kind of fell to the wayside for us a little bit. Also, I was absolutely terrified of giving birth. I don't know if you've heard that a lot, but
absolutely, we have absolutely.
Okay. So growing up, my mum used to always say to me that she almost died when she was giving birth. It was the most painful thing she ever went through. She was really young when she had my brother and I. So she did not know what to expect, and her mum never really told her about giving birth. She was really young when she had us. So she was incredibly shocked when she gave birth. And I suppose she wanted to prepare me for that. But unfortunately, it just made me absolutely terrified.
And if we go back to when you were making the decision, when you were thinking or possibly desiring not to have children, your partner, were you with your partner then? And how did his kind of, what were his thoughts in terms of having children or not having children?
So yes, he was around. My husband and I met when I was 21. We were married by 22. He was always, he really left that up to me, which is amazing. He never put any pressure on me. He was happy to have kids. He was happy to not have kids. He really left that up to me. But when the time did come, we came to that decision together and we were both ready.
And so you were, it's interesting as you're talking, because so if you got married at 22, you were then together for 8 years before you then decided to have children and you fell pregnant. What made you change your mind on the decision and how did you come to that?
Great question. So I really had to think about this. So I can't think of, you know, one thing that made me change my mind. It's something I can't really explain. I feel like I just knew that I was ready, you know, whatever that means. I think I was thinking about this and my dad, he passed away suddenly when I was 28 and unexpectedly when he was only 48. And I thought, you know, that really made us rethink what was important to us. And that I think had quite a big impact on the decision. And I started to become more excited about having a child than I was scared or worried. And I think that's what made me really recognize that I was ready. And when we sort of recognized that it was become exciting, we thought, okay, let's just try this. And we fell pregnant immediately, you know, within that first month. And I know how lucky we are, but it also didn't give us that time. You know, when you start trying, you sort of think we've got 6 months or more until the baby comes along. So we didn't have that time, which was, I think, a good thing, to be honest.
Your daughter is now 5 years old.
She is.
And yes. What you wrote in to me is that she's the best thing that ever happened to you. So can you talk to this? Because I think for so many people, and what a big part of this episode was for a lot of us that may have fears or reservations and are worried about motherhood being overwhelming and all consuming. And if, you know, we haven't worked through the fears or we're not 100% sure on what we want, that it will just be too hard. But for you did get to a point where you felt ready, but what has it been like considering like you were at a stage in your life where you didn't want children and now you have your beautiful baby girl, or she's not a baby anymore because she's five.
No.
What impact has she had on your life?
So again, this was so hard for me to think about how to put into words. All I can say is that it's honestly the best thing I or we have ever done in our entire life. You know, we love her more than anything in the entire world. I would not care if I was living in a garbage can as long as she was okay and she was happy. She makes our life so much better in every single way. Her being happy makes us happy. Everything she achieves is just so exciting. The idea of just showing her the world, you know, we're going to take her to Disneyland in a couple of months. And that was something that my husband and I loved doing before she was born. And the fact that now we can show that to her, she can experience that and it will be completely different. You know, you get to see everything through her eyes and it just enhances every single part of our life. She makes the smallest things so much fun. She makes us really slow down and enjoy the little things in life. And she just makes that happen. And you want to make it happen because you want to enjoy every single moment with her. Does that answer the question?
So special. Yes, absolutely. And in having your beautiful daughter, Allery, do you find that in terms of your, because it's interesting in how much your career has actually, you've changed path within your career and built an incredible career since having your daughter.
Mm.
One thing that a lot of people fear that are working through this decision is losing themselves and their career. What would you say to that? Do you feel like you are a mother, but then you also have yourself and you have your career and you've been able to navigate that?
Yes. Actually, having Allery was the best thing for my career, to be honest. It allowed me, I wanted to be able to drop her off at school. I wanted to be able to pick her up from school. And that made me take that leap to go out on my own and create this business to work around my lifestyle of being a parent. And it works perfectly now. I can do those things. I can work after she's gone to bed. She goes to bed quite early, so I can see people after that, which works for them as well because people are busy, they're working during the day. You can absolutely work and have a child. And sometimes it's better than was before. That's the case that I found with me.
I love that. I think that will be very nice to hear for a lot of
yeah.
people. Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us and for taking the time and for all of the wisdom that you shared. I appreciate it so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Next up is Alyssa, whose pregnancy was unexpected, and she waited until 14 weeks to make the decision, and she's so happy that she did. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's exciting, to be honest.
Oh, no, I'm so excited to talk to you. Your story is going to help so many people in thinking through this decision. And I wanted to start by asking you about your journey with the decision to have children or not, and I suppose the desire to have children or not, and then your journey with motherhood.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a teacher. And all my life, like as a kid, I remember, you know, you always played schools with the dolls and all of that type of thing. I remember doing that, but I kind of just never was a motherly person. I've got like lots of nieces and nephews and it was always nice being the auntie, but I just sort of never wanted to have the kids of my own. And then I sort of also always did say that I would never get married either, but then I met my now husband, and I was like, oh, you've changed that. Great job. And so then, we were together for quite a few years. We lived overseas and traveled lots. And yeah, we were together for about 5 years before we accidentally fell pregnant. And then it was a really tough decision on my end to decide whether or not we would have the baby. So it was a bit of a challenge, but we ended up deciding to keep the baby. It was a discussion we had up until probably at least 14 weeks pregnant. We still were having those. I was still having those conversations with my husband saying, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm born to be a mum. I don't think that that's what I'm supposed to do. I think I'm too selfish. Like I like my life. I've got my dogs and I don't think my heart's big enough for more than them. Like, yeah. So it was really hard to make that decision. It took us, a really long time to finally be like, let's do it.
What made you, actually, I've got two questions here. So did your husband want to have kids?
Yes, but he was very supportive. So he did know sort of where I was at, yes or no, who knows, kind of not really into it. My family were all very aware of that. I remember telling my mom, so I showed her a picture of the positive result, and her first response was, oh my God, are you pregnant? So yeah, everyone in my family was very shocked, but everyone in my husband's family was very excited. And so that probably was a bit of a... That maybe was a bit of a push to say we would keep it, I guess, because I know that he obviously wanted it, but he was very supportive. He said, if we can't do this now, then, and we need to wait a few more years or whatever and revisit this, then I'm happy to do that. It's really your choice. Like it's your body, your mental health that's, you know, that is struggling with this decision and all of those things. But yeah, his family was very excited. It's the first grandchild in his family. So it was sort of, that was a bit of a, I guess, helped us to make the decision, I guess.
How did you make, because I just can, obviously it's such a big decision, especially with you kind of being so sure before what you had desired and wanted to do. Mm-hmm. How did you kind of take that into consideration, but also kind of go deep in yourself and ask, like, how did you know what you wanted and that you weren't just making the decision kind of for everyone else around you?
To be honest, I don't know if I did. I think it just clicked. I think we got to about 14 weeks. Honestly, I do think it was that far in and I went, okay, I think this is what we're going to do. It was just like it was an overnight thing that I went, okay, I think we're good to go. But we also, the whole pregnancy, we traveled in a caravan around Australia. Like it wasn't, it was almost like it was not real, maybe, because I'm also now pregnant again. And halfway through this pregnancy, you know, I'm going to work, we're living in a house, I've got my current child, all of those things. So it's not like people ask me now, oh, were you like this with your first pregnancy, or were you sick, or were you did this and that? And I'm sort of like, you know, I don't know, because I didn't have to focus on it because we were just traveling. We were living the dream, the dogs and me and my husband in the caravan. Like, you know, we went all around Australia. And then, yeah, we got to about 35 weeks pregnant and we're like, oh, we better go back to Newcastle to have this baby. And so we did.
And so you obviously you're pregnant with baby number two, which congratulations. It's so exciting.
Thank you. Yes. It is very exciting. This one is definitely more wanted than the first one was.
I want to ask you about that because you went from not wanting to have children to then falling pregnant and then making the decision, oh, you do want to have children and having your child. And you mentioned before some fears that are so common for people and reasons that people make the decision of not wanting to have children because, you know, you want to have time in your life, you want to be able to do what you want with your time and whatever that might be. Because I think for me and how I felt is because I don't feel like, oh, I have to be a mother, I'm on this planet to be a mother, I'm like, oh, then I have to make a decision. How do I do that? And it's like in society, it's like you should just want to. And if you don't, then it's like, where do you even go for information? And a lot of the conversations I'm having with people are around this kind of fear of, and it might be that they value that so much that they have decided not to and they want to have a child-free life. And like, that's amazing. That is the right decision for them.
Yes.
But for some of them, they do want to have children, but they are, because people say, this is like quite often what a lot of people say is, if you're not 100%, then it's really hard. So like, don't have children if you're not 100%. And I think your story really kind of leans into that in that you were not 100%. You had your child and now you have baby number two on the way. Compared to what you thought motherhood would be like or having a child would be like, what was it like? And especially for you too, because you live in like far away from your family. So you don't have family support around you. What's it been like being a mother when, you know, for so long you that wasn't what you thought you wanted in your life?
I'll probably cry. He is the best thing that, yeah, he's so great. Sorry, this is probably baby number two coming up, but he's just the best. I just love him so much. And like now it's just crazy because I never thought that I would be like this, but like I work 3 days a week. But my favorite thing is to play with him. Like it's just the best. And you just watch him develop. Like he's nearly two now. And I just think about how much he has grown and how much he learns and just how much he like just takes in the world around him. And it's just the most incredible thing to watch. Like I actually told my class about baby number two just this week. And then one of the kids in my class brought in a little present and it was size 4 naught clothes. And I was like, and my class are only young, but I held it up to them and I was like, you know what, guys, you used to be this little, like you used to fit into clothes this size. And then I think about my son and I'm like, he used to fit into clothes this size. And they say it like it's so cliche, but it just goes so quickly. And I almost don't even remember what it was like to have a newborn. But I remember it being great. But I just remember every new stage and every new age that he turns just keeps getting better. And my mother's group and I were talking about it just the other day and saying, oh my goodness, we're coming into these, you know, the two-year-old age. And I just look at my son and I'm like, he's the best. I can't wait for him to be two. And I can't wait for him to be that, you know, terrible two. Because I know that they're learning. Like, he just takes in so much of the world. And it's so, so cool to watch. It's just the best thing. I'm so glad that at 14 weeks pregnant, we made the decision that we did.
It's so special to hear you. So you just have lit up in speaking about your son and motherhood. Kind of if you think back of what the biggest fear was for you in you know, how your life would change, especially around kind of having time for you, and if that was your biggest fear, what would you say to someone that's kind of the biggest thing that they're worried about in how it's actually, because obviously motherhood is really hard, and I think it just comes back to that worry that if it's going to be really hard and I'm not 100% sure, how will I do it? Like, I won't be able to. I think that's the fear.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to kind of people at that stage in the decision?
So the best piece of advice that I was given when I was pregnant came from my sister, and she has two kids of her own, and she knows that all of my family know that I struggled to make the choice. They knew that the reason was because I was selfish and happily selfish, like wanted to do what I wanted to do and always did what I wanted to do. And I'm a very strong, independent woman who likes to do what she likes to do. And she said to me, the only piece of advice I'm going to give you, because you're going to get advice from everyone, is the child becomes part of your life. You don't become part of theirs. She told me that midway through the pregnancy, and I just was like, you know what? She's so right. And my son has been in his pram at the pub until 9:30 at night listening to a band when he was 6 months old. Like, because we don't have family around us, we can't go out unless he comes with us. And he's been doing that all his life. And if it means, you know, oh, we have a late night and he doesn't go to sleep, and so then, you know, it puts us off for the sleep overnight and he's a bit of a, you know, rascal or whatever, then we just deal with it. And the next day we start again and get back into our routine. But like, we just make sure that we don't let him rule our life, because otherwise we would literally sit at home and do nothing all day, every day. And that's so boring.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that is such, I think that also, I think from kind of even looking at social media, sometimes I find that motherhood, it's kind of this balance, because it's amazing that people are so open about how hard it is. But I think also there's also this kind of stereotype that, you know, you have to give everything to your child and your whole life has to change. And it's like, oh, you had, you know, you did this before you had kids. Well, you can't do that if you're going to have a kid, and you can't travel, and you can't and kind of all of this. But is it true for you, and that it is what you make it, and you, as you just said,
oh yeah,
your baby fits into your life and you have made that choice to do that?
Yes, 100%, 100%. Yeah. I can't really, you know, say it in any other way. That piece of advice changed everything that I thought, because like you said, you do see everybody else and you hear from everybody else, oh, it's so hard, it's really challenging, you have to do this, you have to do that. And yeah, like, you don't sleep. Like, he's nearly two. I probably haven't slept a whole night in nearly 2 years. But you just, I don't know, I think as a woman, your body learns how to deal with that very, very quickly.
Mm.
And he was routinely every 3 hours feeding for the first probably 9 months of his life. So, you know, like, we didn't ever sleep overnight and all of that stuff, but you still get up and you still power on and you still do what you can do. And I think it was moving away from all our family and friends, as hard as that has been, it's also probably been a really good change for us, I guess, because we do have to rely, just my husband and I, we have to rely on ourselves, and then our son has to just make do.
I love that. I think in even in me listening to that, I think that's very empowering to hear, because I think again, in life, we so often think, well, we don't have a choice. Like our kid, they have to, our whole life has to revolve around them. And, you know, in the instance, if I don't have family around me, like as in, as an example with you, so I have to stay inside and we can't do anything because it is, and it's like, obviously there's things like, you know, for babysitting and stuff is very expensive. And like, that's a whole thing in itself. But as you've said, you've made a choice to continue to live your life the way that you want to with your child. And that is okay.
Yes. And I think if my sister didn't tell me that and if I didn't make that choice, I think possibly, like obviously I don't have evidence of this, but I would probably resent the fact that I made the decision to have the child and now have another one.
And our last guest is Melanie, whose path to having her own children presented many challenges. But a few years on, she is so glad she did it. Melanie, welcome to the Kick Pod. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Now, to start off with, I would love for you to share your journey with wanting kids, not wanting kids, and then having kids.
I grew up not, I was on the fence. You know, I didn't think so much one way or so much the other, but it was kind of just always assumed. I think so many of us probably around our age is like, you just assume you're going to have kids because that's the norm. But I never really thought about it too much. When I met my wife and, you know, found out that she had kids, I was like, perfect. Maybe that ticks the box. Maybe that, you know, I don't have to go through all the hard stuff to get the kids. But then I kind of felt that longing of, oh, will I regret down the line, like not having my own? So then it kind of played on my mind more. Will I resent my wife? Will I resent my wife's kids for not myself making that choice? And so it kind of, I guess, progressed from there where I was like, I think I would. You know, I think I love kids and I love my wife's kids, but, you know, we have them 50% of the time. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Like when they fall and scrape their knee, like they don't come to me because I'm not their mum, you know? So there was that like wanting the parts of having your own kids that being a step parent doesn't bring. So I think that's probably where the decision overall came from, was wanting that connection with my own, even though I have a great connection with my step kids, just wanting my own babies and starting from the start in the nursery and pregnancy and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, ultimately best thing ever, but it was, yeah, I think it was a process more than I thought it would be.
And then we spoke about a little bit off mic around the cost of having children. So the cost of having children is something that for people in same-sex and heterosexual relationships is something that is considered. I think kids cost around, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars over their kind of, you know, time that they do live at home. Obviously, that's different for everyone, depending on the support. But the other thing we spoke about as well is obviously, and it's so important to acknowledge, in same-sex relationships, the process to have a child is different. And there are more, obviously, within a heterosexual relationship, if they're with infertility, the process is also different to a heterosexual couple that falls pregnant naturally. And both have so much more, the cost is so much higher, the emotional strain can be higher too, there's more to consider. Are you able to talk through, within your situation, how you navigated that? And did that impact your decision at all?
Well, funnily enough, we were probably going through financially the roughest spot we have been in, maybe probably apart from now with interest rates and everything. But we had our own business. We had a juice and smoothie food truck, and like we got self-employed and were like, great, weekends off, like living the life. No, it was really hard, and we were working every day, so many hours in the day, and it just wasn't going how we thought it was going to go. Which was when, probably 3 years into the business after we'd gotten married, like I was thinking, I think I really want a baby. So then we started talking about selling the business, getting back to full-time employment and like starting a family.
or continuing our family. And so that's where I guess it got really hard financially, is because we were selling our business at a loss and then accessing super to go through IVF. And I guess financially it was really hard, but there was no other time to do it. And I will probably have to mention my wife and I have a 13-year age gap. So her not wanting to be an older mum played a big part in the timeline of when we were going to do things. And at that point, we didn't know that we would be using her eggs. So her egg quality really did actually come into play. Mm. We were on our way to one of our spots with the food trailer. And my wife had always been really, I'm open to having kids, but if you don't want to and we don't, that's fine. But basically the ball was in my court. If I decided we were going to have kids, like, she was happy. If not, she was also content with that decision. And we were on our way to our spot for the day. And I said, like, I think we've just got to sell the business, contact old employment. Let's just go back to normal work and go about it that way. So that kind of literally was a split decision over months of thinking, but it was a split decision to actually go ahead with it. And then we got the ball rolling. Within a few months, we had, you know, our first fertility appointment. And so like that whole medical side of things kind of dragged me down a bit. On top of the financial side of things, you get really high and excited, and then it kind of not comes crashing down, because it is still a really exciting process, but, you know, reality hits that it's going to cost a lot, going to take time. You're going to use a lot of needles, and if you're scared of needles, like, it's hard, but you've got to do what you got to do.
For you both in a same-sex relationship, how did you work out, and only if you're, of course, comfortable sharing this, but how did you work out which egg you were going to use? Because you could only use one egg, right?
Yeah. So my egg quality wasn't great due to PCOS. So going through all the fertility testing, I had a lot of follicles on each side, and there was just more discussion on it being a bit harder for me to fall pregnant. And so it kind of was just like, we don't want to wait. I personally didn't want to have a lot of failed rounds. I just knew, me as a person who has suffered with mental illness myself, I just knew it would be like, I don't think I would be able to go round after round. I think it would just take it out of me. So we just decided to use my wife's, and she was happy to do that. And part of it for me is not that it matters, but it sweetened the deal for me that the kids would kind of all look more similar, I guess. Like, my wife has brown hair and I have red hair. And I was like, it was just, I think, maybe something in my brain that made me deal with it a bit better. You know, which obviously was a whole other process for me, because biologically neither of my daughters, well, all four of them really, like, obviously two are stepkids, but the two that I carried aren't biologically mine. So that was something that I didn't realize would affect me, but did. With my second, not so much, but with my first, like, she's three now and, you know, COVID baby as well. Suffered with pretty bad depression after I had her, and the connection was there, but it played a part mentally in wondering, like, would this be easier if she was mine? I felt like she knew that she wasn't my blood, you know. But getting through that now, I realize that it's not the case, because, you know, I'm so connected to my stepkids and they are not mine, and I wasn't there from the very start. So I guess it's just an emotional process, and hormones obviously play a major part in how you feel, especially after having a baby.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's so generous of you to share with so much vulnerability. When you contacted me with your story, you mentioned that it is the best decision, even though at the start you weren't sure if you wanted to have your own children. It's now the best decision you've ever made. So can you talk to the impact that your kids have had on your life, and how maybe some of the fears or things that you thought that were kind of holding you back from wanting to have children have kind of eradicated?
Yeah. And like, I literally get emotional anytime I think about it, because I think it's just healing when you don't know if you're going to be a good mom, or you question it, or if you have any doubt that you're going to be a good mom and then you have kids. And you just feel like, how could I not be? Like, I'm caring and, you know, they're happy and you have these moments and, you know, you can have a really hard day and you look back at videos and you cry. Like, I can't imagine my life without them. And I think that it's just, it's massive, you know, like I can't even describe it. And when I was pregnant with my second, I was like, oh, like maybe this love was just held for my first. Like maybe it was just something that I was like, I'm just, this is amazing. And I loved pregnancy. I was really lucky. Had a really great pregnancy with both. But I thought like, I think this is like, I don't know how I could possibly love the second like I love the first, but it's like, it just comes so naturally.
Mm.
And I think that for me was, I still have days, probably multiple times a day, where you probably let the toddler watch too much TV while I'm trying to breastfeed the little one. And I'm like, oh, I feel so guilty. But like overall, you know, it just removes all the doubt from my mind that like I am a good mom and it was the right decision. Like it's just the best thing.
And do you feel like you've still kept yourself? Because I think that's something too that a lot of people fear and a lot of women have messaged me around this series of thinking like, I don't know, that one of the things holding them back is worrying that they're going to lose themselves because they want to be, possibly want to be a mum, but they also want to be, you know, other things too.
Mm.
Have you, how have you navigated that?
I think I'm probably lucky in that I'm such a recluse anyway. Like my wife and I have done some traveling together, and in terms of the travel side of things, that's probably a concern for a lot of people, but I look forward to doing that with my kids. In saying that, it's so much more expensive doing anything with kids, but I think I get excited at the thought of giving them those experiences and sharing that as a family. In terms of myself, like how I feel, I've struggled with eating disorders in my past. So the bodily changes for me was probably the hardest thing to wrap my head around, because with IVF as well, it starts the second you're on any kind of hormones, injections, you fluctuate. You get told after you even have the transfer, you've got to keep your heart rate down to help implantation. So you're like, well, there goes the exercise that I've been doing. Like, there's just a lot, I think probably more so with IVF, where your body becomes not yours for a long time, you know. And with my first Daisy, she was the second transfer. So it was longer, which is lucky that it was only two, but it just adds that extra month, 6 weeks into the timeline of, you know, start trying to fall pregnant and then falling pregnant and then having the baby and then allowing your body to recover. It's, you know, 18 months more, 2 years, a long time before you feel like you've got yourself back. And I think that for me, probably more so this time around, I find my body's not, I don't feel in sync with my body, or that's the biggest part I feel like I've lost this time. But I know it comes back around. Like, I know I'll feel like myself again. They're so needy and they're so on you all the time. And the end of the day comes and you're just like, I just don't want to be touched. And then I just want to be by myself, you know, and not have anyone around me. Don't speak to me. So I guess like you've got to find the balance yourself. Even if you don't feel like yourself in your body, it's like you've got to find time where you don't have a little human on you and you're not being spoken to or yelled at or like toddlers. Yeah, I think it is hard. But in terms of losing yourself, I think like you find yourself as a parent and it's really different. And, you know, you feel needed and wanted. And I guess it depends what kind of person you are as to like how much you feel like you've got to lose and what you have to gain in having a parent. And if you can align those things and do it all and marry it all together, like it's even better, I think.
Melanie, thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a joy to talk to you. Thank you for being so open and vulnerable and in everything that you shared. I really, really appreciate it. I know all of our listeners will as well.
Thank you so much.
This series wouldn't have been possible without you. So here's a little of what you shared with me. I hope these stories help you feel seen just as they made me feel. Thank you so much. And like, we're not the only people feeling what we're feeling.
My husband had always wanted kids, but it wasn't something that I'd ever wanted. And we'd agreed before getting married that we wouldn't have children. But then we fell pregnant unexpectedly and did decide to go ahead with it. I really struggled mentally throughout the pregnancy and probably for the first year of my son's life, in particular, feeling a lot of resentment towards how much it felt like I'd had to give up and how much my life had changed. But it gradually got better. I've now got a 2.5-year-old that I absolutely adore and couldn't imagine life without. And I'm kicking personal goals again now and making advances with my career. So we've definitely reached the light at the end of the tunnel.
I was a carer for my mum until I was 24. This was a major reason why I put off parenthood and why I was put off parenthood. I believed I'd sacrificed enough, and I'm now a new mum to a unplanned 9-week-old, and it's like she was the gift I never knew I needed or wanted. Caring for her is so much more rewarding than anything I've ever done.
So in 2022, my partner was then 30 and I was 29. We were planning a wedding. And as we were getting through the year in the prep for our wedding, I had a friend who was actively about to start trying, and she was getting her AMH test done. So when she did that, I thought, oh, I was curious and I really wanted to know, okay, how long do we have? So I went and got that test done, and it actually came back really low. His reaction was the best. When I got off the phone to the doctor, he looked at me and he goes, all right, well, we pulled a goalie after the wedding. So we started actively trying after our wedding, early 2023, and fell pregnant naturally after 3 months. And this year in February, I welcomed my little boy, Lincoln. And to be honest, for someone who wasn't really sure of when they were going to be ready to have children, he is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I love my life with him, and I couldn't see us not being parents now. It's opened my eyes to a whole new world, and he's just the best thing to have ever happened to me.
Growing up, I never really wanted kids. I wasn't really maternal, and I've always been pretty career-focused and didn't really see them in my future. However, when I met my fiance, he had 3 beautiful daughters. So pretty much from the moment I met them, I fell in love with them and started to think maybe I would like to have kids of my own someday, but there was just something stopping me. I was just so terrified about losing myself, and you hear so many stories online about just how life-altering kids can be and horrible the newborn stage is and how your life will never look the same again. So I started seeing a therapist just to chat through some of these fears, and eventually felt ready and fell pregnant with my beautiful daughter, Billy. So she's 5 months old now, and I can honestly say everything that social media made me believe about how hard and horrible those early days would be was just really not my experience at all. My life looks very, very similar to how it did before in terms of doing all the things that I love, but I just have a little bestie along the way, which is really nice. So I just wish someone had told me that really you control your own reality and not everyone has the same experience. But yeah, I'm very grateful to have my daughter and to have gone through the experience that I have so far.
Thank you for listening to this episode. The next episode is Career and Children. Can I do both? In this episode, I speak with 2 women at different stages on their career and motherhood journey. One who had 3 children at the height of her career, whose children are now teenagers, and one who was in the thick of her career and has just given birth. I hope you'll join me. If you have any thoughts on this episode, please reach out to me on Instagram at laura.henshaw. If you think this episode would help someone in your life, please share it with them. Hit follow or subscribe on the podcast app you're listening to this podcast in, and you will be notified when new episodes publish. And if you want to continue this conversation, you can do it in our closed Facebook group. Just search KickPod on Facebook or click the link in the show notes. I will speak to you soon.